Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, we are back here live at the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investors, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So today's episode, as you guys and girls can see, we're going to be talking about how to invest in real estate without cash or credit. Very interesting topic that I want to hear today. So we're going to be talking about the current state of real estate, commercial properties versus residential properties versus land, investing without cash or credit, and investing on your own terms. So without further ado, we have a guest here today, a very, very important guest that we have here today, Mr. Chris Prefontaine. Make sure I got that last name right. But he has 28 years in the real estate business. He's done over, he's accumulated 5 to 10 properties per month. He's done over $80 million worth in real estate. Very good guru. He's the founder of the Smart Real Estate Coach, right? So we're going to bring him in, very suitable guy to talk to about this. We're going to get his take on this. What's the current state? Because, you know, it's a lot going on right now. A lot of people looking for opportunities and new ways to invest. So if you are catching this live, feel free to stop by and say hi. Well, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let me bring it to my guest.
Hey, Chris. It's going great. I'm jazzed after that intro video. Now I got some energy going.
Got some energy going. That's what I'm talking about. Get it pumping. So I want to ask you a question, Chris. Where are you located right now?
I'm in the enormous state of Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Okay.
Smallest state. Yep.
The smallest state on the East Coast. We're here in the mountains here, live in Denver, Colorado. So the first thing I want to jump into, Chris, I got to ask you, for the people out there who haven't heard of you, haven't seen you, who is Chris Prefontaine?
Yeah, so we have a family company, Prince, myself, my son Nick, son-in-law Zach, and the great team that surrounds us. And we buy and sell just in 3 states, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut. And then we take that exact same knowledge, role, skill set, and we teach students around all around North America, but mostly the United States, to practice the same type of protocol and skill sets in deals that we do, which is lease purchase, owner financing, and subject to.
Okay. Now, you know, that's very good to hear that you're teaching about real estate and financial literacy. This show is a lot of, it's about a lot. But it's a lot of things going on, as you know, in the current economy. We have a lot of things going on that people didn't see 2020 coming out of the blue. And now we're in a very interesting time. Interest rates are at an all-time low. We're seeing housing prices go up. We just saw an article come out yesterday that was saying some delinquencies were happening. But even though we're in double-digit unemployment, we have the virus going on. We're seeing stock market is all-time high. We're still seeing home prices still rising. I got to ask you this question. With all this going on, what do you think is the current state of real estate right now? Is it a good time to buy? Should I be selling? What should I do?
Yeah, here's my general answer. First of all, nobody knows, right? You and I can hypothesize. The billionaires don't know. The economists don't. Nobody knows because nobody's been through this junk. But I think when the masses, i.e. the media, talks too much about something and the masses go one direction, I can tell you it's always good to go the other direction. So right now, more than ever, we as a family team are doubling down and buying more on terms. The only difference is we started about a year ago on this, year and a half. We're looking for longer terms. So I don't care if I have a 10 or 20 year term, if the market's doing this, it's okay. So the current state is chaos right now. But guess what that means? That means that sellers and buyers are just screaming for guidance. That's what they're doing. And so we can offer them that. So once you become the expert in your area, you can offer them that. It's pretty cool.
Okay. So in this time, let's say someone who wants to make money, you know, say someone, I'm looking for a new revenue stream, you know, for the short term. What would you have to say to that person coming into real estate who's looking to make a stream of revenue in a time like this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I built, and then my family helped scale it. I built this niche of terms coming out of the 08 crash to be as resistant as possible, not knowing COVID, but we built it to weather storms. And so, okay, here comes COVID, and it goes into April, and we triple our volume. So I think this niche, obviously I'm giving you a biased opinion here, right? But this niche is phenomenal for the chaotic times. It's good in any market, but it's great right now in this chaotic time. Why? Banks are shutting down a lot of people that don't have great credit or that were borderline credit at one time. And so that's hurting buyers and sellers, all of them now flocking to us to say, show me a different way. Like, I didn't know I could sell my house now, or I didn't know I could buy now. And so, yeah, rates are great, but that doesn't mean all the people that are on the cusp of credit when the banks raise their bar, they're hurt. They're pushed out.
Okay. So I got to ask you this question that you said, that, you know, you're having this unique time frame, and you're saying that you spoke about in 08 that what you went through in the last recession. How do you build a recession-proof real estate portfolio?
Yeah, so I guess the key distinction there would be I carefully say resistant versus proof, because I think proof's like a really broad statement, right? And I said it a few times in the past. I'm like, wait a minute, that's a little strong. So recession resistant is not signing personally on bank loans. We just don't do it since the crash. That was kind of one of the rules. Like, we put a box together, imaginary box, and said, what are the rules if we're going to go back into real estate? Don't sign personally. Don't solicit investor money. Don't put your own cash down. So we don't do any of that. And then the second piece of that is to make sure that the contracts and the forms we're using, and they've been built over the last 12 years now, are such that you have wiggle room. Markets change nationally and internationally, and we need wiggle room. So our agreements are brilliantly written to do that, to go back to the seller and renegotiate if necessary. And lastly, I said it earlier, I alluded to it, but the most important piece is making sure you have longer terms. Example, I always give real examples. My office building, I'm at my home today, but my office building across town was bought on terms. No banks. What would I need if I went to a bank on that? I would need pristine credit. I would need 25 or more percent down. It's a commercial mixed use building. And so I didn't have to do any of that. I didn't have to sign personally. I didn't have to go through the scrutiny of underwriting. And I didn't have to worry about what was going on for the interest rates and all the other garbage that goes on with banks. So it is by far the best way to build a recession resistant portfolio, to do it on terms, not bank loans.
Now, I want you to break some down there. You just hit a mouthful there. No terms, no terms, no cash. And what was the other rule you had?
No banks, no signing personally. So you don't, okay. You don't put your own money in.
Now I got to ask you this question. Why no cash?
I go the opposite way with that. I'd say, why would you want to put your own money down when I can see? I just got the phone with a student like 10 minutes before your call, and he's in a high end area. And I saw one of his offers he was going to make, and he had some cash down. He said, but Chris, I can get that cash from my buyer. It's okay. I said, no, it's not okay. That's your profit, and you're trying to offer that to the seller without even negotiating. There's no reason to put cash up. If someone is interested in top price, I don't need it down. If someone's interested in top price, I'm okay as long as I can get a longer term. So we don't undercut homes. We pay top market value for them.
Okay. Now, when you say no terms, and you say why you say no terms, and can you break that down when you mean no terms?
Actually, all terms. So all our deals are bought on terms. That's what when I said lease purchase or owner financing, that's what I mean by terms, because it can mean a lot of different things to different people. When I say owner financing, for example, we have a niche within that niche, and that is we look for properties that are free and clear. There's no mortgage on them. So these people aren't stressed in any way. They just want the best price, and they have time. They don't need their cash today. Those are six-figure deals all day long. And you asked about cash flow or revenue generation. All these deals we do on terms, we generate three paydays, and that is cash right away, cash over monthly, and cash long term. That's a lot better than like a one-time deal or a one-time flip or a one-time build, right? Entirely different. If you put that business model to test in any industry, three types of cash flow, that's a win for an owner.
Now, break down these three different type of cash flow. You're talking about the equity. I'm assuming it's the property valuation going up, and maybe you're renting the property. What are the three types of cash flow you're talking about here?
Yeah, no, awesome timing. So all of our properties, primarily, it's like 95% of them, we exit with a rent-to-own buyer that's going to be mortgage ready in X amount of months. And with COVID going on and all the chaos, there's a whole bunch of these sideline buyers that can't get financing today, but they're good buyers. So we get a non-refundable down payment, payday one. We get the difference between what we're paying on the underlying loan or to the seller and the buyer paying us. That's payday two, that little spread. Range is like $300 to $1,000. That's not enormous, but that's every property every month. And then the third payday is twofold. It is one, the markup and the value that we did to get the buyer in there. We're going to put a little bit of premium on that. And all the principal pay down throughout the term of this deal accrues to us. Mm. Those are, that's why I said with the owner financing, if it's principal only payments, no interest, that is a massive pay down of debt, is a recession hedge, and it is a moneymaker on these free and clear properties.
Okay. All right, everybody. So if you're catching this live, please comment. Tell me where you're from. Tell us where you're checking in from or whatnot if you are catching this live. Very good, interesting topic there with the three ways to make money inside of real estate. Now, you know, when we talk about real estate, there's a lot of things. You know, you got commercial, you have residential, you have land, so many types of real estate. I got to ask you, commercial versus real estate versus land, which one you're acquiring, which one you recommend, which one are you looking at?
Okay, so I've always played with all different categories, but we teach with the terms business primarily residential because people aren't, I know it's chaotic right now, but people aren't going to stop getting married and buying their first home. And, you know, that it's obviously a high demand still. Secondly, when you're talking about terms, Prince, when you talk about lease purchase, owner financing, you can do that with any property whatsoever. Our office building, we have a 20-year term on it, owner financing. Six unit, a four unit. These are all deals we've done. What's the primary focus? Single family residential. Mm. But anyone could take this niche and say, we did it once. We said, all right, you know what? Where our team has time, let's go find a 4 to a 10 unit. We specifically wanted 4 to 10 units. We did a mailing, 200 something pieces, nothing. We got a six unit. I put it in my IRA, self-directed. Next mailing, we said, oh, that was cool. Let's mail another one. We got another one, four unit. These are both free and clear properties. We targeted them. That the owner said, sure, if I get my price, I'll finance you over time in no interest, just principal. So that's a long way of saying you can do this on any deal. I just happen to teach primarily residential single family.
Okay. How do you feel about people acquiring land? You know, just plain land, nothing on it, just plain land.
Okay. So I made a lot of money in land in the past. And the guy coincidentally has sold me the building, is the largest landowner around this area, one of the largest. So he's a very sophisticated landowner. He banks it. He's wealthy and he just banks the land. I like land where I can go in and get it raw and improve it by just doing the engineering, and whether it's A&R lots, approval not required, or whether it's detailed engineering, and then selling that off all permitted. Have we taken it to the nth degree in the past and built on it too? Sure. But in our mode now, where we're doing a lot of terms deals, I prefer to put some time, energy, and money into engineering and then flip it. Do I look for those? No. If they come my way, we've done plenty of them.
Okay. Now, when we go to the commercial side of the house, you know, commercial, especially with this latest bear market that we're seeing in the commercial market right now, we're seeing, you know, are we going to go back to commercial that we used to see? Everybody's working from home now. Everybody's working out of their houses, basement. How do you feel about that commercial property and restaurants and, you know, things like that?
Geez, I don't know. It depends how long this little chaotic track goes, right, before we get closure here. But I just said to one of my associates yesterday, he's looking for an office building. He's in the Chicago area. He wants to buy his first office building on terms. And he said, should I be nervous? He said, well, here's the advice I gave him. I said, look for a building, because there's going to be a lot of deals out there. Look for a building that has present strong tenants that stayed through COVID because they weren't as tied to economic changes related to COVID. For example, in my building, I didn't go without any rents. Why? I have an Allstate insurance business in my building. They have to stay open. There's rules, but they have to stay open by their franchisor. They also have to be on that street that I have them on for the visibility. Then I have two therapists in there. They're not as effective because they're coming in one at a time and seeing patients. So all three of those tenants pay for my building and our companies occupy the rest pretty much for free. So all that to say, look for as much as you can, look for buildings that have tenants that aren't as economic, volatile reactions. Because I had a Jarek Robbins, Tony Robbins' son, who was coaching me at the beginning of 2020. And I said, what's your dad doing? What's Tony doing? What's Ray Dalio? What are these guys doing? They got billions of dollars. He said, they're looking for every piece of real estate or other related businesses that are not tied to what's going on with COVID. Makes sense, right? Insurance is a very good example. So again, long answer, but very cool question right now.
Okay, great. Now we're going to get into the next question, which will be one that everybody wants to ask about is investing in real estate without cash or credit. That's always a good one. But we're going to look at some of the guys and girls' comments that are commenting below where they're from. We got Alvin Cofield, so he's watching from Jacksonville, Florida.
Awesome, awesome. Welcome, Alvin.
And we got Ruby said she's checking in from Memphis, Tennessee. Miss Samore is checking in from Augusta, Georgia.
Got students in all these areas.
Yes. He's watching from Detroit, Michigan. Great info. Thank you. Then Randy says, we are ready. He said, good to see you again, my friend. Real estate is good. Okay. All right. So now we're going to get into the next one here. Everybody wants to know, when you say investing in real estate without cash or credit, Chris, what are you talking about? That sounds crazy.
Okay. So coming out of the 08 crash, I mentioned the 08 crash, but I didn't mention me. I was just wiped out because I bought the conventional way. So when the market tanked, the values dropped by a third and sometimes two thirds in the city. It was crazy. So I got beat up. And so that's what I said when I said, when we came back, we said, what are the rules going to be? So what about the no cash? I had no cash or credit, first of all, coming out of the 08 problems. Okay. So that's what made me design or re-engineer this niche. But we do, when we do a lease purchase, Prince, the deposit built into the agreement is $10. When we do an owner financing deal where it's free and clear, we can't expect the owner in that deal to say, oh, no money down, and I have to pay transfer tax if it's a state that has that. So we do end up paying the transfer tax if they go with no money down in principal only payments. So that's it's like if you're brand new, you go lease purchase, build up a deal or two, and then start looking for these high six-figure deals that can be with the free and clear properties. But none of those require money down. So if you were a seller and you said, okay, well, what about the down payment? Here's my script. Well, Prince, we usually deal with sellers that don't need a small down. They'd rather maximize their value in their real estate asset. And to that, they usually say, well, I don't need the money. You know, it's an ego thing. So then if they get their price, most people are good. Like the building owner here, who I have, does not by any means want to get paid out early. He wanted the terms because he's a savvy investor and he wanted the best price over time. So you can do it on, man, I bet you 30% of the sellers we talk to, especially now, are open to terms.
Okay. Now I want to get into that real quick. What word did you use? You said a lease back?
Lease purchase.
Oh, a lease purchase. Can you explain to the audience what is a lease purchase?
Yeah, for sure. There's all kinds of scenarios, but let's say you're the seller, Prince. Mm-hmm. And you and I agree that your home's worth 300. Let's use that number. And let's put you in a good situation, not a bad. Let's say you have 50 grand equity, you owe 250. I will go to you and say, all right, Prince, I'm going to agree to take over your underlying payment. Let's say you're trying to move out of state and you just couldn't sell. I'm going to take over your underlying mortgage payment on the 250. I'm going to guarantee you the 50 grand equity that you weren't able to sell, but that's what we say you have in the house. As long as you can give me, let's use 36 months as a term. It's contingent upon me finding my buyer. So then you go, okay, you give me some time. I go out, I find my tenant buyer who needs time because of COVID or whatever other reason to get qualified, to fix their credit, to save more money, whatever the reason. Once I find them, I install them in the home. I take possession. I pay your underlying mortgage. I'm collecting more monthly from the buyer. I'm taking care of all maintenance and repairs on your property. I'm passing that to the buyer. And then you're just sitting tight, or you moved out of state, wherever you did, and you're waiting for your 50 grand cash out at the end. That 250 at the end is not going to be 250 anymore. So I pay off a much less mortgage. You just got your 50 locked in. It's all you cared about. That is a lease purchase on the buy side with me buying your home.
Mm. Now, okay. Well, we've got some more people here that commented. Evan says she's from Mary Evans, watching from Michigan. Stephanie Smith's out from Northern Virginia. Hey, what's going on, Stephanie? How you doing? And Kanye, North Carolina. All right. So thanks for everybody that's checking in, catching this live, and for the playback. The playback will definitely be out to the stream. But you just explained to everybody a lease purchase, right? Now, is it kind of sound like wholesaling. Is that kind of like wholesaling, or is that different?
No, it's different because I'm staying in the middle and I'm creating those three paydays versus we call it a signing out. I could have signed out of that deal and that would be like a wholesale deal, but that's one check. So we tend not to do that. We tend to stay in the middle of that buyer and seller. That's why it's called the sandwich. The only place you can't do those is Texas right now. You can do every other form we do. And so I stay in the middle and I collect that payday one upfront deposit from the buyer I put in your home. Mm-hmm. Payday two, I paid your mortgage, I collected more, and payday three, all of that principal pay down plus the markup on that property. So definitely different than wholesaling. I'm in that deal for 3 years, sometimes 10, my building 20.
Got it. Okay. And wholesale's kind of out of there fast.
You're in and out.
Now I want to ask this question for people out there that's hearing you and they're saying you're saying some good stuff. Like, okay, Chris is saying some good stuff. Oh, then we had Clarence here from Bahrain, watching from Bahrain. Nice, nice. Now I got to ask you this question, Chris. I'm hearing what you're saying. It sounds good. Where do I start? I'm just a little baby. Should I start an LLC? Should I start a company? Should I go by myself? Should I start a partnership? Do I need to get funding? Where do I start? How can I do this? What is the best advice you would give?
Yeah, a couple of really good applicable questions in there, Prince. So let me give them a sense for how much it would cost, right? So to run this type of business that I'm talking about right now, it's going to cost you, if you hire a virtual assistant to do your calls, which we do, you don't have to, it's going to cost you around $500 to $600 a month in total of it to have a virtual assistant, a phone system, everything set up. If you don't want a virtual assistant, you just carved out $400 because it's about $100 a week. So it's pretty inexpensive relative to anything else you can do for this kind of return. Do you have to set up an LLC day one? No. I would think you'd want an LLC or a trust, your attorney. I'm not an attorney, but depending on what state you're in, by the time you have your first deal. So you don't have to worry about that. What would I do if I was new? It doesn't matter what niche you're looking at. So whether it's our niche or a different one, I would find one you like. Let's just say it's the terms niche. Sure, fine. Then find a mentor in that space or a group in that space that has done it and still doing it. Because during COVID, it's super dangerous to be doing something that was a has-been, you know, someone who did it before that and hasn't had success since. And third, stay with them for 36 months, especially if you're new. You've got to give this time. The niche is a huge return if given the proper time and attention. And so that would be my pathway. And the cool thing about nowadays is everything's online. We have a YouTube channel, for example. You can look at 120 of our deals. We expose everything. That way you can see if you like that in a 3-payday and you can start to get your arms wrapped around that. And then if you like it, we have a free webinar. So a lot of free. I'm into free. I want to make sure people get their fingers on this and see if they like it. That's all.
Okay, speaking of free, this is what we're going to do right here. Right now we have a book up called Real Estate on Your Terms. The first people to comment smart real estate, the first two people to comment smart real estate, you're going to get a free copy sent to you from the Investor Show, right? The first people to sit back and do this, you're going to get a free copy from the Investor Show. Now, what we want to do, Chris, I want you to walk through and I want you to explain one more time the steps that you spoke about. You said you don't.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Once you get a virtual assistant first. So the first two people to copy, they're going to get this copy here. Okay. Everybody's commenting here. Wait for a second here. Let me get this off the screen.
Well, if you're good with it and they want the electronic version, let's give your whole audience the electronic version.
Okay, we'll give the whole audience. So
why not?
Stephanie Smith, you have won a free copy, smart real estate. And how can Miss Benjamin? She won one as well. You won one as well. And I'm sorry, Shamor, thank you for playing, but you'll get an electronic copy. And also, Alvin, you'll get an electronic copy as well. But thank you, and Miss Cray, I'm sorry. You maybe next time. But you guys will all get an electronic copy, you know, courtesy of Chris. But I will send out two physical copies. Other people will comment now with smart real estate. Sorry, Ms. Ruby, you will get the electronic copy as well. But thanks for everybody for checking in. We're going to get those copies out to you. Congratulations to Stephanie and Ms. Benjamin. You will get a physical copy. Now, you spoke about the steps from day one. You said get a virtual assistant. You don't need an LLC right away. Now, somebody may say, well, Chris, how do I find these deals? How do I find these houses? You know, where do I go once I have these deals? I'm going to cut you off there. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll give you the high-level answer, and then I'll tell you where to find it. So we mainly fish in the ponds of expired listings, for sale by owners, and for rent by owners. Those are our three main sources of leads, which for most people listening, you have plenty of those in your immediate market within a 50-mile radius at the most. We do have on our website and in the free webinar a little bit more detail on that and how to get your hands on those automatically. And then you call them or your virtual assistant would call them and make sure that they find out who is interested in chatting with you further.
Okay. So we spoke about everybody says thanks. Okay. Travis said, Travis listening from Texas, very applicable information in this area. Thank you both. Awesome. So congratulations to the two people that won. I want to do a recap of what you spoke about earlier, right? The topics that we get on. First thing we talked about was the current state of real estate. You felt like it was a good time for real estate, right? And you were saying that even with this time, building a recession-resistant portfolio around real estate, whereas you're saying don't put up your own cash. I wrote it down here. Terms only, looking for lease purchases, right? And yep. You also kind of hit on the concept of commercial versus real estate versus land. You like to buy land, fix it up, sell it. The bread and butter is in real estate. I mean, residential, but you also would get into commercial on certain terms. Am I correct on that?
Absolutely. Yep. You can handpick them.
Handpick them. All right. And then you say investing in real estate without cash or credit. You broke down that process. I want you to break it down one more time for people who probably didn't catch that, but I know a lot of people are honing in on that.
Yeah, so you don't, and we didn't hit credit, so thank you for reminding me. So credit, let me hit that first. You don't need credit. I had none coming out of the 08 crash. You don't need credit because you're not taking on any loans. You're not assuming loans. You're not signing personally for loans. None of that. You're not exposing you and or your family's assets, so you don't need credit. Cash, you don't need cash because the lease purchase arrangements, our forms, we give you our forms in our online academy. It's a $10 deposit built in. That's what it costs you to do a lease purchase up front. So there is no cash, and there is no credit. That's how the entire model was built.
Okay. Everybody, I just dropped my email there. In order to get the ebook version, please send me an email. And when I have that from Chris, I definitely will send it out, disseminate that to everybody out there. Now, Chris, how can people follow you to get more information from you? How can they check out more what you got going on? You spoke about having a YouTube channel. How can people find you and get some more of the Smart Real Estate Coach?
I would suggest kind of the foray into what we're doing would be twofold. One, go to smartrealestatecoach.com and just register for the free webinar. If they don't mind listening to me babble for another 35 or 45 minutes, they get a free webinar. It's content rich. Secondly, this might be going out on a limb. I don't know how many people are live, but I'm happy to do myself or my son-in-law. We do these live. I'm happy to do a 15-minute free strategy call. Just go to smartrealestatecoach.com/action. It's going to ask you some questions like, have you done deals? Have you not done deals? And there's no wrong answer. It's just so we can best help you in 15 minutes. So smartrealestatecoach.com/action. Happy to chat with you live. We enjoy doing that.
Okay. Social media. How can they follow you on social media?
I am the tech nightmare for our team as the older one in the team, but we are on Pinterest, Facebook. I said to you YouTube earlier, so just put in Smart Real Estate Coach. You'll get us on all those.
Okay. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, you have it where he's taking, he will offer you a free 15-minute consultation. Of course he has books. I know you had another book out as well, but you know, we're going to give out, you know, the free copy, the ebook, and also the, paperback to the two winners, but please send an email at Prince, P-R-I-N-C-E, at childrenfinancialliteracy.org to have a free ebook sent out to everybody. I see everybody commenting here on the live and things like that, so I thank everybody for tuning in. Now, Chris, is there anything that you want to touch on that we haven't touched on?
No, just don't listen to the media. It's the biggest thing I can say to you other than what I already said. Do not listen to the media. You don't need to. That's going to be chaos. You need clarity, and your sellers and buyers need clarity, and you can be it for sure.
All right. Well, Chris, it definitely was a pleasure. Did you have fun?
I always have fun, and I loved having the opportunity to be on your show, buddy.
All right. Thank you. And you definitely come back.
I'll come back. My kids will come back too. Nick and Zach would love to be on your show.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live from a beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. And to the next video podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe, I'm out, and thank you.